Thank you, Marcus and worship team. We appreciate you leading us into worship and spending some time with the Lord. Want to again let you know, Marcus mentioned that a lot of our women are down at Women's Conference at Aldersgate. Carlene gave me a text this morning indicating that last night, the weekend is going very well, and that the so much so that the enemy was also trying to interrupt things. And so whenever we see the evidence of the enemy trying to interrupt, we know that we're making a move sometimes in what God wants to do. So we can continue to pray that God accomplishes his work with them as they finish up today. We're going to continue on this, the series of Dare to Dream that we've been in. This morning we're going to talk about substance to significance. And as it turns out, we're really only going to talk about substance, because next week Pastor Carlene's going to move into showing us the significance of what happens once we find that substance. I want to let you know that there's certain messages that really impact you as you begin to prepare them, and this is one of those messages for me. God gave me really the words several weeks ago of substance to significance. And okay, God, what do you want to do with this? And the message began to unfold as he led me into the process. But the message really takes me back 30 years, as well as shows me today where I'm at. 30 years ago, I gave a message to New Vision. There's some of you that may have been in that service. The message was, I dare to dream. I dare to dream that God's people would find healing. I dare to dream that God's people would find healing emotionally, spiritually, and physically. I have a dream that God's people would be set free from the things that hold them captive. I have a dream that God's people would be delivered from the hand of the enemy that's active within their lives. I have a dream that people would be restored to a right relationship with God. Now understand, this was a message 30 years ago that I still have a dream today for. I still believe that that's God, what God wants to do. And he's been doing it along the path in my life as I've been able to minister to people and share with people and give them the hope of God. God's been doing that very thing. But my dream is not complete. It's still active. It's still there. This is what God has created me for in his kingdom, is to dream and believe that we would be set free and find him. I'm still hoping for that dream. Before we really get into the message today, let's set some foundations of what we're going to be talking about. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidences of things not seen. Okay, remember that. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Substance is defined as the real physical matter of which a person or thing consists, which has a tangible, solid presence. So faith creates the substance. Your believing, what you believe for, creates the substance. I have believed that this dream that I have will come about, and it creates the substance of what I'm believing for. How do we get this faith? We go to Romans chapter 10, verse 17. It says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I heard a long time ago the belief of the fact that God can heal. I heard the word of God, and he placed that dream upon my heart. So that's where that faith came in. This morning we're going to look at Joseph's life and see he's a young man who dared to have faith and stand for what was right. And as a result of how God used his dreams in Joseph's for Joseph's future. So let's look at Genesis chapter 37. If you have your Bibles, we will read it here. It says Genesis 37 verses 2 through 11. It says, this is the account of Jacob's family line. Now, Jacob is Joseph's father. And if you remember, now it's important to remember, Jacob was Esau's brother, and they were born to Isaac, and Jacob and Esau had a little turmoil in their relationships as brothers, and Jacob ended up taking Esau's birthright. Okay, we're setting foundations. Scripture continues, Joseph, a young man of 17 years old, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And he brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he had been born to him and in his old age. He had made an ornate robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said, listen to this dream. Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose up and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. Oh, okay. His brother said to him, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? And they hated him all the more because of the dream and what he had said. Then what happened? He had another dream. He said, listen, I had another dream, and this time the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to me. When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, what is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you? His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. We want to continue on a little bit more foundation on the story. Joseph's dream did not fit in the culture of the time. Okay? The elder brother was the one that always ruled. And if something happened to the elder brother, the next eldest brother would rule. And on down the line. So Joseph was number 10 in line, and he was saying he was going to rule. His brother's angry response to the dream was understandable for the culture of the time. However, it also showed the contrast to Joseph's honesty and faithfulness, and their anger had demonstrated why they were not going to be chosen for leadership. The second dream with the sun, moon, and stars predicted Joseph's elevation to a position of authority over the whole clan of Israel. The scripture said that Jacob's father wondered about the dream, what the dream meant. Jacob questioned the dream because he knew firsthand that God could choose the younger to rule over the older, as God had done that very thing with his brother and him, his brother Esau and him. Dreams were often how God communicated with his children at that time. And it was known that when there were two similar dreams, that God was most likely behind it. Joseph received the dream, then what happened? Life happened. Received the dreams, he told his brothers, he told his father, and then life continued. The story continues. Joseph's father, Jacob, sent him out to check on his brothers. Now I want to stop there. Does it seem odd to you that Jacob or Joseph is bringing negative reports about his brothers, and yet his father sending him out to check on them? Maybe his father was using Joseph a little bit to find out about his brothers. And wouldn't that create even more of a wedge between them? As Joseph approached his brothers, they saw him coming and began a plot to kill him, stating, "Here comes that dreamer. Let's kill him and throw him in one of the cisterns nearby and claim he was attacked and devoured by a ferocious animal. Then we will see what comes of his dreams." A little bit of attitude, a little bit of anger from these brothers. One of Joseph's brothers, Reuben, tried to convince them otherwise, but to no avail. As Joseph approached, they attacked him and stripped off the robe that his father had made him and threw him in the cistern. As they sat down to eat. Now, can you imagine this? Here, you take your brother, you strip off his coat, you're planning on killing him, you throw him in the cistern, and what do? You sit down to eat. These are some pretty hardened guys. They're pretty upset with the things, but they got to take care of themselves, so they sit down to eat. As they're eating, they see a caravan of Midianites that are traveling, slave traders, headed to Egypt. Judah says to his brothers, "What would we gain if we killed him? Let's sell him as a slave to the caravan." And they all agreed. They took Joseph's robe and covered it in goat's blood and took it back to their father and said, "Dad, look what we found. We found Jacob's robe. And he must have been attacked by wild animals and been devoured. This is all we found of him." And it says Jacob mourned for several days. I want to sidestep for a minute. I want to note the family's propensity for deception. Jacob, when he was dealing with his brother Esau, killed a goat, remember? And put it on his arm so he would feel hairy like his brother Esau. He killed a goat to deceive his father. And now what happens? His sons are killing a goat to deceive him on what happened to Joseph. Pretty amazing, isn't it? Joseph, in the first 17 years of his life, faced jealousy, favoritism, deception, anger, hatred, and bitterness. Rejection. He was attacked, bullied, abused, stolen from, thrown in a cistern. Some of you may have experienced some of these things in your life, and maybe most of them in your life from your family of origin. Joseph was sold into slavery, all at the hands of his brothers, the ones that supposed to care for you, your family, they're supposed to be the closest to you. He faced it all from them. Now, the Bible doesn't give us much or any details on what happened to Joseph on the trip to Egypt. Okay? But we can only imagine what his captors needed to do to change a free man into a slave. Think about that for a minute. They only had so long before they reached Egypt. So we can only speculate what horrors he may have faced that would break a free spirit and turn him into a slave. So the abuse continued upon Joseph. How does this line up with what's gone on in your life? Are there things you relate to? How did Joseph respond and react to all that happened? Did he sink into depression? Did he become the victim? Did he give up? The word continues to give us a little bit. Meanwhile, the Midianites sold Joseph to Egypt, to Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard. The next we hear, it says that the Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered. Potiphar saw everything that Joseph put his hand, also had his heart behind, and he succeeded in all he did. How did Joseph respond? Joseph continued to do what he knew to be right, in spite of all the things that were going on in his life. He served. He put everything he did into the best job he could do. Joseph was continuing to be the man of character that he was at home. His faith was not changed due to his circumstances. Eventually, Joseph was put in charge of everything in Potiphar's house. It records that Potiphar did not have to concern himself with anything with except what he was going to eat that day, because Joseph took care of everything. He was that good at what he did. But one day, Potiphar's wife took notice of Joseph and invited him to bed with her. Joseph refused, stating that she was his master's wife and that it was wicked and a sin against God. She continued to pursue him day after day. Joseph refused her, as well as even to refuse to be around her when he had that opportunity. Joseph was able to resist temptation because he had godly wisdom. He was more concerned with the fear of God and following God than satisfying the cravings of the flesh. While doing his duties, there came a day that all were gone from the household except Joseph and Potiphar's wife. When he yet refused her again, she accused him of attacking her. Potiphar gets home and she tells the story. And as a result, Potiphar threw Joseph, wrongly accused, into prison. To top off all his brothers had done to him, to top off what he experienced on his way to become a slave, now he's falsely accused and thrown into prison for attempted rape. How did Joseph react and respond to all that happened? Joseph continued to do what he knew to be right. He served. He put everything he did into doing the best job that he could. Joseph continued to be the man of character he was at home. His faith was not changed due to his circumstances. The story continues. While Joseph was in prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the warden. Again, the character that Joseph had in his life caused him to be put in charge of all the prisoners. God gave him success in whatever he did. Sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker for the Pharaoh did something that offended Pharaoh, so much so they got thrown into prison. They were there for a while, and they were put under Joseph's care because he took care of things so well. After being there for some time, they both had a dream on the same night. Each dream had meaning of its own. When Joseph attended them and they looked so sad, he admitted that they both had dreams and that there was no one to interpret them. And Joseph said, "Does not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams." Joseph interpreted the cupbearer's dream, letting him know that he would be restored to Pharaoh's court in 3 days. Joseph then, having been in prison for several years, said, "Now, remember me when you go back to Pharaoh," hoping that maybe somebody would help get him out of prison. He also interpreted the baker's dream, letting him know that also in 3 days, his head would be cut off, he would be impaled on a stick, and the birds would eat his flesh. Ooh, little different interpretation. Both dream interpretations came true. However, this time Joseph was forgotten about by the cupbearer, and it says Joseph spent 2 more years in prison for something he didn't do. Now, I want to point out, God used 2 dreams to identify Joseph as leader among his brothers. He used 2 dreams to test Joseph's faith in prison. And he was about to use 2 dreams to elevate Joseph to heights he never thought possible. How did Joseph react and respond to all that happened? He continued to do what he knew to be right. He served. He put everything he did into doing the best job he could. Joseph was continuing to be a man of character that he was at home. His faith was not changed due to his circumstances. The story continues. Pharaoh has 2 dreams. And those dreams troubled him greatly, and he called for all the magicians and all the wise men in all of Egypt to come to interpret his dreams, because they concerned him so much. Again, remember, 2 dreams generally meant God was speaking to you in this time in history. The cupbearer is reminded of Joseph and goes to Pharaoh and tells him about this Hebrew man that interpreted the dream for him and the baker. So Pharaoh sent for Joseph. After a shower and a shave and some new clothes, he goes before Pharaoh. Pharaoh said, I had 2 dreams, and nobody in Egypt can interpret them for me. And the cupbearer tells me that you can interpret dreams correctly. And Joseph said, not I. I cannot do it. But God will give the answer that Pharaoh desires in the dreams. Joseph interprets Pharaoh's dreams of the coming 7 years of abundance in Egypt and 7 years following a famine in Egypt. And Joseph tells Pharaoh, you need to find somebody that can help manage you through this next 14 years. Find a wise man in your kingdom that's able to help put away food so that we can get through the 7 years of famine. And Pharaoh looks and doesn't find anybody in his kingdom. So he decides Joseph is going to be the man, because he was knowledgeable and wise enough to interpret the dream. Surely he knew God and would be able to be knowledgeable enough to do what was needed for Egypt. Joseph, in his life, was armed only with his dreams, the word that God had given him, that he had received. He was armed with his character and his faith of God and in God. He continued to believe no matter what the circumstances were before him. As a result, his faith became the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of the things not yet seen. It became tangible, solid presence. So often we want to take faith and say, God, I believe you will, ... And when it doesn't happen in a day or a few days or a week or a month, we question, God, are you real? Are you there? This was 13 years that Joseph faced the challenge of his faith, of believing that he would be in a place to rule. He would be in the place of receiving the dream that God had given him. It was not Joseph's desire to rule, it was his desire to receive the dream that God had given him. Where are you in this story? Where do you relate the most? Have you ever asked yourself, how can I live a life of character when I'm surrounded by this dysfunctional family? How can I live a life of character when these friends that I have don't live that? How do I live a life of character when the world around us offers something so much different? How do you do it? Just like Joseph, you remain to do what's right. Are you a Joseph walking through life with God's word and work being accomplished in and through you, facing trials with your hope intact? Or are you the brothers attacking, accusing, abusing, full of jealousy, accomplishing the negative, having anger and hatred and bitterness, expecting that you deserve to rule, that you deserve this or that, and you get angry because other people get in the way of you receiving it? Which one are you? Which one do you want to be? God is in accomplish the works of changing us. Because this goes back to the dream I told you about that I had 30 years ago of believing that you can be healed, that you can be delivered, that you can be set free, that you can move from being the brothers to being a Joseph. It's possible with faith. With God and your faith, you can change. Do you want to? Next week, Pastor Carlene is going to continue on the exploration of Joseph's dreams and take us from the substance of the faith that he developed within his life to where that substance in the belief and the dream moved from substance to significance and how it changed the world for Joseph and his family. This morning I want to take just a few minutes as we close the message and ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes and ask God, can I change? Do I need to change? Do I need help in continuing to believe that you're going to get me through where I'm at today? Take out your communication cards, the little cards that we have, the connection card. I'd like to ask that you would fill that out in just a moment. But we have the next steps on the back of the card that says faith is more than just a belief or a hope. Faith has substance and is real and tangible. My character reflects the depth of my faith. Does that pertain to you? There's also an open box that you can check. And you can write in that box what it is that you would like God to do in your life related to faith. Just a moment, the ushers will get up to receive these cards, collect these cards. Again, if you're here and you've been here before and you filled out one of these cards, all you have to do is put your first name on it. If you haven't been here before, go ahead and fill it all out so that we can make sure that we can get in contact with you, whatever you feel comfortable with sharing. There's a place for prayer requests to fill in and a box to check if it's confidential that you only want to see, have pastor see those. And we will make sure that that happens. Is the substance of things hoped for? What are you hoping for? What are you believing for? God will bring it about. I want to let you know that there is answers to faith. First, you can look outside and see the sunshine. That was faith. Eventually, we believed someday the rain would end and the sun would come out. We had faith. And God answered. Another one is that, how many came up Farmington Road from Murray today? A couple of you. There's faith that they will finish that project on Farmington Road. It was paved all the way across on the first deal of paving was there. It's not finished yet, but we have faith to believe that someday it will happen. I want to encourage you to hold on to God. Hold on to the word that he's given you. I had no idea 30 years ago that the message and the dream that he gave me would be a lifetime call to this church and to God's children. When God speaks, listen and hold in faith, no matter what the circumstances are that you go through, and he will get you through. Thank you. Have a great week.